This is how the birth of Jesus came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. I was praying the rosary yesterday and praying the joyful mysteries. And while I was meditating on the visitation of the Blessed Mother, who shortly after being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and conceiving Jesus in her womb, goes to visit her cousin, who, though barren for many years, was also miraculously pregnant. And a question crossed my mind, which, in the spirit led to a realization. And the question was, why is Mary, who really is the center of the story right now, right? It's in her womb that the Savior dwells. Why is she going to visit her cousin and not vice versa? Right? Why is it that Mary is traveling in her pregnancy to visit Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist? Why is Elizabeth with John the Baptist not coming to the Blessed Mother and her son, Jesus Christ? And the realization dawned on me that this is always what the Lord does. And from the moment that the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Blessed Mother and she conceived, she was taken up really entirely into the mission of her son. So it's natural that the way her son acts, she also gets taken into that. Because if we look at various things throughout the gospel, we can see that God doesn't remain hidden and wait for us to find him. He's always coming to us, right? He's always initiating. Jesus doesn't hide away somewhere and wait for somebody to discover who he is. He's always going out, right? We see it, first of all, here. In the first moment of his human existence, the Blessed Mother carrying him to go visit Elizabeth and John the Baptist. We see it again when he's about to begin his public ministry, right? John the Baptist is the one who goes out to the desert and he prays and he fasts and he preaches and people come to him. He didn't come looking for Jesus, but he was waiting for Jesus, right? Jesus came to him. And John the Baptist, because of the way he lived his life, was able to recognize Jesus when he came. Similarly, even though the disciples of John the Baptist went out to the desert to find him, Jesus went and found his own disciples, didn't he? Right? The call of all the apostles, we know Jesus went and found them and told them, "Drop your nets and come and follow me." Right? The Lord doesn't hide away and wait to be discovered. He's always coming out to us. But look at how different it is when somebody is righteous and holy and living in such a way that they're open to the Lord. Look how readily they're able to receive him when he comes. As opposed to, if we live our lives in such a way that the Lord, if he wants to speak to us, has to sort of strike us blind and overwhelmingly convince us of his presence. Something the church teaches, we all receive different graces and we don't necessarily receive the same graces. Some of us receive more than others and some receive specific graces. But the church teaches unquestionably that every person receives sufficient grace for his salvation. Right, so when we struggle with those mysterious things, why is one person saved and another not? Why does one person believe and another has no faith? Right? Why is somebody striving for holiness and somebody is on unchecked on the path to wickedness, we cannot conclude that because God speaks to one person and not another, right? God is always seeking each of us out all the time. God is always trying to speak to each of us all the time, right? God is always trying to be present to us and draw us near to himself all the time. But it makes all the difference whether we are disposed to receive him when he comes or not. It makes all the difference whether we're disposed to hear his voice or not. Right, so we see a similar thing happening in the gospel today, which St. Luke tells us about the angel appearing and giving the Annunciation to the Blessed Mother. St. Matthew tells us about the story from Joseph's side. Right, and you have to have some sympathy for Joseph's confusion, right? He's got this young woman whom he's betrothed to marry. In Jewish law, even though they don't live together yet, they're already husband and wife. He just hasn't taken her into his house. And then he discovers that she's with child. Now you can imagine the confusion, the frustration, the hurt, the disappointment he must have felt. But the Gospels tell us an important thing. It says he was a just man. And I'm really grateful for that book that Pope Benedict published just a few years ago. It's a very little book, part of his trilogy that he wrote as Pope on Jesus. And he gives a little reflection on this scene with Joseph, and he makes connections that I don't know that I would have been able to make on my own. He says, let's look at what the scriptures mean when they say he's a just man. And he pulls out other passages from the Old Testament that describe what a just man is like. And it says, first of all, it's somebody who ponders God's law day and night. A just man is somebody who ponders God's law day and night. He's a man of prayer. He also says that the scriptures say that a just man is like a tree planted beside living waters. Right? And so the roots of that tree go deep, and the tree is strong and it bears good fruit because it's drawing water from the streams of living water. And what Pope Benedict says is we take this biblical notion of what a just man is and we bring this into our reading about Joseph today. And we see, you know, he's sort of probably thunderstruck by this realization that his young bride seemingly has been unfaithful to him. Once again, God here is proactive. Just like God came to the Blessed Mother and overshadowed her with the Holy Spirit, God comes to Joseph in a dream and tells him the story, tells him the whole plan. Do not be afraid to take the woman into your house. She's conceived by the Holy Spirit. And not only that, you're to raise this child as your son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. Now, what is it that made Joseph able, in this probably confusing and frightening situation, to respond so well, so quickly, so thoroughly to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, right? How confident would you be if you had a dream and some outlandish thing was reported to you in a dream? You know, I try to wonder, would I, if my, you know, young, I don't have a bride, I'm a priest, but if my young bride were suddenly pregnant and I had a dream that, oh no, it's God's baby, I'm not sure that I would be that confident, right? So what was it that made Joseph able to respond the way he did? It's because Joseph was a just man. It's because he was like all his life, like a tree planted beside living waters, right? He pondered God's law, which means he lived in such a way that he was open to, even expecting God, right? When the Lord comes to him, the Lord doesn't have to fight with him or struggle with him to bring about conversion because he lives his life as an openness to God. So, you know, in these final days of Advent, we see, even in the church's liturgy, the way we talk about the coming of Christmas even changes. And this week, the liturgy starts to use the word expectation, right? So we've been talking all throughout Advent about the fact that Jesus comes in history and that we look forward to his second coming in glory as judge and as king of heaven and earth. But that also, in the meantime, he comes to us in mystery, right? We're not without Jesus. Jesus is not just in the past and in the future. He's with us today. He's always coming to us, but he comes to us in mystery, right? He comes to us through the word. He comes to us through the sacraments, most especially the sacrament of the Eucharist, right? He comes to us in the forgiveness that we receive in the sacrament of reconciliation. He comes to us in the witness of the saints and the shared faith of the people around us. He still comes to us, but he comes to us in mystery. All right, so we can conclude from all of this that Jesus is always seeking us out, right? He's not, if we wonder why we don't have more of a closeness to Jesus in our life, or why we don't have maybe a deeper sanctity or deeper prayer life, we need to remember he's always there. He's always reaching out to us. He's always showing himself to us. He's always giving us his love and inviting him into love, right? But our disposition matters a lot. Are we looking for him? Are we like trees planted beside flowing waters, right? Do we put our roots into the living waters of the scripture and the sacraments, right? Do we have lives of prayer? In other words, are we living our lives in such a way that our very existence disposes us towards an openness, an expectation, indeed even a waiting for the Lord to come and to bestow us with more and more grace?